Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I'll remind you as we jump into our conversation here with Bert Queen and Scott Goldberg that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. If you are a first or second time home buyer, 1-800-638-7781. There's even help with down payment, significant help. 1-800-638-7781, the Maryland Mortgage Program. We're about to have a conversation with Bert Queen in our studio. Good to meet her in person.
Thank you.
And Scott Goldberg, welcome.
Thank you.
Scott, who was an independent radio producer who's been working with The Intersection, and we've been producing their radio stories, their young people there, produced a story and sent it to us, and we listened to it and were just blown away by it. It's about Bert Queen and her work. She is this correct that you're a tracker for the Alive program?
Yes.
Is that the right way to describe it? And AIDS linked to the it's run by the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. And you're a recovering addict yourself, HIV survivor, and working with your community.
Yes, I am. Long time HIV survivor.
That's good. So, Scott, do you want to intro this, and then we'll play it, and we'll come back to our conversation?
Sure. So what the ALIVE study is a community-based HIV study run by the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. It's actually been around for 25 years, so it's the longest-running study of its kind. It studies the connection between HIV and injection drug use. And, yeah, sort of the story.
So let's hear the clip. This is the radio story that Scott Goldberg did about ALIVE and about Bert Queen, who is the centerpiece of the story. So let's hear the story.
ALIVE study participants are scheduled to visit its clinic every 6 months. Each visit, they're given a packet that tracks the different tests, interviews, and exams they must complete. On the top of that packet, there's a checklist. And on the top of the checklist, it reads, if today's date is more than 3 months from scheduled date, please circle reason for return. The options are letter and mail, on their own, and BERT. When I first saw that, I thought, what is a BERT?
Well, today we're riding around in a 2011 Ford pickup truck, four-door, charcoal brown. I love trucks.
That's Bert. Her full name is Bertha Queen, and she's not your typical truck owner. She's 59 years old, African-American, about 5'2", and wears a baseball cap atop shoulder-length dreads. Bert's worked with ALIVE for over 20 years. She goes by many job titles, tracker, locator, outreach worker, and a few more. Basically, her job is to find people that have missed their visits and get them back into the study. The day Bert let me ride shotgun in her pickup truck, she was asked to locate 5 participants.
So we're at our first stop.
We step out onto a busy street in the McElderry Park neighborhood of East Baltimore, just a few blocks from the clinic. A middle-aged black woman answers the door. She tells Bert the participant doesn't live there. Bert reassures her that I have nothing to do with the man she's looking for. Now that Bert knows why the man missed his appointment, she can cross him off her list. Bert will try to get him in for a visit when he's released from the hospital. Bert has found that most people miss visits because they're either hospitalized, incarcerated, in detox, or actively using.
You see how paranoid she got when she seen that mic?
Yeah.
People gonna be kind of paranoid of that. And because you're Caucasian.
Bert laughs about my skin color because she knows that people are going to suspect that I'm a cop. Especially because we were out on the first day of the month.
First of the month, a lot of drugs in the street, people transacting reefer, marijuana, everything. A lot of people just get money one time a month, the first of the month. So it's always a lot of activity that's not normal the rest of the month because money in the street. And so when there's money in the street, more transactions, so then you start seeing a lot of knockers and police because they know that's the time to see where all the traffic go and stuff like that. So it's always real busy.
Bert was giving me a master class on how to interpret the street activity in Baltimore. It was like exchanging a camera that shoots black and white for one that shoots in color. Bert seems to know everyone in this community by name, And not just because she grew up in East Baltimore, but because she's one of Alive's first participants. In its first year, the study recruited 3,000 injection drug users. Bert says she was number 68. Bert became a drug user at the age of 14. She first injected heroin at her high school dance at Dunbar and didn't look back for 21 years. She was a hustler. She'd walk up and down the street day and night selling body oil, vegetables, earrings, anything to pay for her next high.
They called me Doobie, they called me Fast Eddie, and they called me Country Bert because I liked so many colors. Here come Country Bert, Fast Eddie because it was never a dull moment. I couldn't keep still. I'd be so hyped up, flying, running, always busy.
2 decades of drug use finally caught up with Bert in 1986 at the age of 35.
Once I found I was HIV positive, I made the attempt to start to change my life. And so then my struggle became detox and then in the street and detox and backwards and forwards until I surrendered in December the 20th of 1988.
After getting clean, Bert sought out a job with Alive. The study had helped her to overcome her addiction, and she wanted to give back. At the time, Dr. Liza Solomon was the study's project director. I spoke with her at the research firm where she now works. She says that Bert wasn't the study's first tracker. The first person in that role was white.
So we had something, but this woman who was very ingenious and very dogged, but she wasn't of the neighborhood and she wasn't of the community. So she was very successful, but only so far.
Dr. Solomon says Bert seemed like a natural fit, but hiring her was sort of like taking a chance.
Could she work? Could she follow people? Could she be trusted? I mean, it wasn't about her, but it was this, you know, someone who didn't have a CV. I don't know if she had a social security number when we first had the conversation, but she was so interested, and she had this network of people.
Since starting her work with Alive, Bert's mission has been to help others get clean. Just by being in the community, looking for participants, she's sending a message to active drug users.
People that knew me and knew how I used out there like them, and they say, what are you doing? I thought you was in jail. No, I go to NA. I just be there, and just knowing my history, they know that it's something different. I try to encourage them, but I don't try to preach.
Her good friend Shelly Anderson can attest to that. Back in 1988, Shelly was on her way to buy drugs when she spotted Bert outside a recreation center.
I pulled over. Hey, Bert, how you doing? She looked good. I noticed something different about her. She had this big old smile. And she said, you know, I'm going to meetings now. You know, I got 8 months clean. Aren't you tired? And I was tired. And I said, yeah, I really, really am tired. She said, well, why don't you come on to the meetings? So I think it was just a couple of months later that I popped up in that meeting. And for real, she literally held my hand until I could stand on my own 2 feet.
In addition to her work with Alive, Bert has opened recovery homes for people trying to build drug-free lives. She now runs 6 homes. It's no coincidence that the name of her program is Beginning Effective Recovery Together, or BERT for short. At the end of our day, Bert had uncovered the whereabouts of 3 out of 5 people. 1 participant was in the hospital, 1 was in jail, and 1 was home. Of the 2 people she couldn't locate, 1 house was abandoned, and 1 address didn't exist. The next day, I went to see Bert at her home. She lives in a modest 2-story house between Barclay and Guilford in Charles Village. Until 5 years ago, it was predominantly a working-class black neighborhood. Now, most of the residents are either white college students or young professionals.
Hello there.
Hey, Bert.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for having me over.
Yeah.
After walking into Bert's home, I was immediately taken aback. Her house was filled with elephants. I mean, there were elephant lamps, elephant statues, elephant stuffed animals. I asked Bert, why all the elephants?
I was a hero buddy.
Heroes
was a place for AIDS patients. They started the AIDS walk, Heroes did. And I volunteered to be a hero buddy, and that was for somebody that was either sick or was expecting to die, that couldn't do stuff for themselves. So my hero buddy, when I met him, he had a stroke and couldn't move. They was expecting him to die in a year. And so my goal was to try to see something that he always wanted to do that he didn't do, and he wanted to go on a trip. So I took him to a support group. He met a guy, and they went on a trip. And he asked me one day, what do you like? And I said, I ain't never think about what I like. I ain't never liked nothing but shooting dope. So he said, well, think of something. And I said, I like elephants. So he said, do you know anything about elephants? I said, no. He said, well, when the trunk up and someone give them to you, it's good luck. So he went on his trip before he died, and when he came back, he said, here go your first elephant. And so it went from one elephant to almost 500 elephants. So when people say, what you like? I like elephants. So now people start giving me elephants.
Reporting for the Mark Steiner Show, this is Scott Goldberg.
That was a wonderful piece.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that, Scott, and this lovely story. Mm. So how many years again have you been doing this on the street working?
18 years.
For alive. So I mean, I'm curious when you run six houses. So was that what you said in the piece?
Yes.
What does that mean? What do you do?
I run six houses, and what we do is we have people that come out of detox or prison or people just want to change their life that's coming from abuse or drug abuse. Or positive, and everybody that come to our houses are drug abusers, but there might be somebody that was positive that just can't go home, or the door's been slammed in their face.
So what's life like in those houses that you run?
It's like their first introduction back to living life on life terms, family, or they learn to live together, do basic stuff, taking care of themselves, cleaning up behind themselves, learn how to eat properly, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they either go to school or set goals to do things that they haven't done in a long time because of their drug addiction.
Because when you are addicted to whatever you're addicted to, you don't think about all the other stuff. All you think about is
using. Yeah. You don't think about anything. I know I didn't.
Well, yeah, people didn't. A lot of people didn't. So we were talking about this the other day in our shop that people have asked us to do a bunch, would continue doing a bunch of stories on HIV and AIDS in Baltimore. And some people have said to us things like, this is, in some neighborhoods, HIV, being people HIV positive and AIDS, is literally an epidemic. There are a lot of people in our community who are HIV positive.
I remember when I first found out it, and they said anybody that used drugs the way I did, it was at least 7 out of 10. And from my understanding, it done got worse. So there's no telling how many it is now. I know that when I do my outreach work, it's like sometimes when I first started, I might be in the same block, and it's 3 and 4 people that I never even, you know, they don't know about each other, but in one block, it might be 3 or 4 people at one time that were positive. And different times, I went in the same block over and over and over again.
And so the job you do is very specifically around people who were or are intravenous drug users who are HIV positive, and you're trying to get them to deal with their condition.
Well, yes. They're definitely drug users, but everybody may not in the beginning were positive, but because of the behavior, we knew that eventually they would, because they wasn't changing the behaviors and things that they were doing. So a lot of times we were just watching, waiting to see how long it would take for them to become positive because of the behaviors. They didn't necessarily have to be positive
right.
to be in the study.
So you know, one of the things I'm curious, you can join us here, 410-319-8888. We've got about 5 minutes left here in this segment. And I want to ask Scott, I mean, here you did this piece. You had the great fortune of meeting Bert Queen. You're about to go to medical school.
That's right.
So what are you taking away from this? Because you walked in this thing, you didn't know this is not a world you knew that well, right? So what are you taking away from this?
Yeah, I mean, I actually had first learned about Bert because I had been working with a study that was similar to Alive, that was connected to Alive. So I'd been around the Alive study for a number of years, and I've been interacting with people who had a history of injection drug use or current injection drug users. But Bert was the first person in the study that I actually really became close with and spent time with. So I think something that you said that really affected me was that what the Alive Study did, and something I think I could take away as a future clinician, is that drug use is like a chronic disease. It is something that it's an addiction, and it's something that's extremely difficult to overcome. And to be patient with people and to understand that there are going to be multiple times that that person may relapse before they can eventually quit drugs for good. So I think also just having lived in Baltimore for 3 years, Bert was the first person that kind of allowed me to see this other side of Baltimore that I'm not really familiar with. Even though I work in the study, in the community, I'm not really I don't have access to these people's lives in a way that I've had with Bert. She took me to some of the recovery homes that she runs, and that was a really informative experience.
And I think, and what you're doing here is important, because I think that the people need to know more about this, about what you're doing, Bert, and about the importance. See, people get the importance of the role that you play, that people who come from the community, who come from that world of addiction, who have found their place, are the most powerful workers we have when it comes to reaching out to others, because of the trust factor.
Mm. Right. Well, basically what I do is I'll meet someone that's coming out of jail that really don't have nowhere to go or don't want to go back to the lifestyle they was living, because everybody's doing the same thing they was doing that they're trying to get away from. And basically what we do is just open the door and let them in and let them know that they can have somewhere they can feel safe, they could come. No drugs, no alcohol, no marijuana, no mind move chemical. And basically at the same time, let them treat them as a human being. That was one of the main things that we try to do, is just treat them as a human being and let them know that their past don't have to be their future. Just because you was an addict and you did all the things you did, rob, steal, whatever it may be, trick, whatever, that this is a new day and we starting over. So let the past be the past and let's start from right here and right now. And that's basically what we do.
And how many years have you been clean?
I've been clean 23 years.
That's congratulations.
23 years. In December, one day at a time, December the 20th, one day at a time, I'll have 24 years.
And one of the things that you know, a lot of people say, I know a lot of people who have gone through the life of and being addicted and coming back, there's a clarity people have when you get off of that stuff that's almost frightening, just about how you can see the world.
When I got off, my whole life in using was just darkness.
Right.
When I got off, the first light I saw was just the sun coming up, you know, the daybreak. I hear a lot of times people talk about the birds chatting. It was things that I didn't hear or see, that I wasn't aware of, that once I got off of the drugs and woke up in the morning instead of came to, you know, woke up to just the it didn't have to have a radio, didn't have to have a TV, just waking up and looking out the window and seeing the sunlight and know it's a new day, and the day ain't, it can be any day that I make it. It didn't have to be a day of horror and chasing and doing whatever things I ain't want to do or going places I ain't want to be. You know, it was like a wake-up call.
Michael, this has really been an honor. Can we get one quick caller in? Is Hank there? Hank, we only have like 60 seconds, man, so make it fast.
How you doing, baby?
Good, bro. We're almost out of time, but go right into it.
I'd like to let you know, young lady.
Hank, you're breaking up, man.
I said the young lady just hit the phone. What am I going
to do? I'm sorry, Hank. Your cell phone is like it's like you're swimming through an ocean here. Lillian, very quick thought.
Bert, this is Tiger Lil, and I'm having a fundraiser at Malba's Saturday, 4 to 8, for the patients at the Moore Clinic at Hopkins, and I would be happy if you would come.
I would be all to come, Miss Lil.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, and I love you and the good job you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks for that call, and I want to thank Bert Queen. Looking forward to meeting her again, and thank you for the work you do and your own life. And it's been really an honor to meet you and have you in our studio.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And Scott Goldberg, thanks for doing the story. Good luck in medical school.
Thanks, Mark.
I think your experiences here will make you a better doctor.
I hope so.
I hope so. I think they will. I have no doubt they will. On the way out of here, I want to, out of this segment anyway, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanites Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. We're going to take a very brief break, then jump into traffic, and then come back with our soundbite segment this week. We visited Steve Belkoff at his farm in Baldwin, Maryland, and he raises grass-fed livestock of all kinds and has interesting philosophical views on life and where food comes from and where our future is going. So stay with us. We'll be back with that. Don't go away.